Thought tonight we'd just do a whole dry run, okay? Like we've been doing pieces of meditation, and then tonight we'll do one complete meditation. So we went through all the preliminaries. You got up in the morning. We say you're doing your practice in the morning because a lot of people do it in the morning. And then got up. Important to brush your teeth, okay? Wash your mouth out. Have something to drink because it's good to be... well watered when you meditate. Tibetans say blow your nose out really hard, okay? And we talked about it, into a sink, something like that, and get everything out of your nose so that you can breathe through your nose. And then find your sacred space, have a space in your house where you meditate and where you keep it for meditation, even if it's only a part of your room. Okay, and that part of your house should be like very, very quiet, very beautiful, simple, and then should have some kind of an altar, and on the altar some kind of image of whoever you think to be a holy being, all right? And then put out some fresh offerings there every morning. Tibetans have a custom of doing bowls of water like that. Because you'll never, in your mind, one of the reasons is that in your mind you'll never feel, you'll never feel like you spent too much on it, and then collect bad karma or something like that, okay? So just simple, just an offering of water, and water being like universally beautiful and useful. Should be some representation of a holy being. We don't believe it's them, but we believe it's good to have a representation of them there. Okay, then make sure that your seat is comfortable. Should be higher in the back, lower in the front. Should be some kind of cushion under your calves and under your ankles. Okay, so that the knobby parts of your feet are not touching straight on the floor, because then you'll start to get pain in your legs. Okay. If you can't sit with a crossed leg, then don't worry about it. It's more important that you meditate well. Okay. Then it's a custom for, if you know about prostration, to do three prostrations, bow down to that image, representing a holy being. And then you can think of any holy being that you can imagine. Try to think of somebody who has all the holy qualities that you can imagine. Try to imagine a person like that, okay? A being like that. Then sit down on your seat. Should be your right foot is up on your left thigh, okay? If you're going to do a full lotus, which is difficult and which hurts a lot and which probably more distracting than helpful, unless you're doing yoga or something. If you're doing a full lotus, then you put your left foot up on your right thigh first, and then your right foot up on your left thigh, okay, over that. But if you're going to do what we call a half lotus, then you put your right foot up on your left thigh and you leave the other foot down below it, okay? Get your back very straight, okay? It's very, very important to have your back straight. It comes a lot later. When you do advanced meditation or tantra, it's very important that the back, you learn to keep your back straight. Then your face should be relaxed, okay? And especially around your mouth, okay? Around the corners of your mouth, the face should be relaxed. And then your shoulders should be relaxed. I had a teacher who said, lift them up and let them drop a few times and get them down flat, until they come down flat. Your head shouldn't be cocked one way or the other, okay? Your eyes can be whatever's comfortable for you, closed, or a little bit open. If you leave them open, then keep your head straight, but look down, like at the floor a little bit, just slightly. And keep your eyelids like halfway down, okay? You check it out and see which one is better for you. A lot about meditation, Jetsun Kapa has taught that a lot of the details of meditation depend on your own body. Maybe you find it more comfortable to close your eyes, or maybe you find it more comfortable just to keep your eyes down and keep your eyelids half shut, okay? Normally, you breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. If you have a really bad cold, you can breathe through your mouth, okay? Try to keep your tongue in a very, very natural position and that your mouth doesn't dry out, okay? Because every time you, if you get good at meditating, then when you swallow it, it's very distracting. It sounds like a big truck going by or something, okay? And then you try to breathe as slowly as possible. They say that when you get good, the hairs in your nose shouldn't move, okay, as the air goes by, right? So try to get to that slowly, all right? Then you take your left hand and put it down first, palm up. And then you take your right hand and put it on top of that, palm up. And then you join your thumbs together like that, okay? And it can be distracting trying to keep them up. I mean, you're supposed to, but it can be distracting. You start worrying more about your thumbs than about your meditation. So sometimes it's okay just to leave them down like that, like very softly touching together. Okay, and you see what's more comfortable for your hands. You might find it's more comfortable if you stick your elbows out a little bit, and that brings your thumbs automatically close together. Your thumbs, when you touch your body, should be pretty much at your navel, okay? If you do a half lotus, they might be too low. So then you can put a little piece of cloth on your lap. I keep a piece of cloth like that on your lap, okay? But it should be that when you push your thumbs in towards your body, they should hit about your navel, okay? Different people's belly buttons are at different altitudes, okay? So you see which one, you know, see how it fits you, right? The main thing is it should be really comfortable, that you can go into another place and not think about your body. So if you have a bad left knee and you have to stick your leg out, then for goodness sakes, do it, okay? It's not the point to torture yourself or something like that. The point is to get the body parked in a position where you can go away from it for a while and not have to hear any complaints, okay? So don't think that you have to look good in meditation. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to watch you, okay? Everybody else will have their eyes closed, I think, okay? So the main thing is that it's very comfortable for you to sit that way for a half hour or 45 minutes, okay? Be careful about your seat. Make sure the seat is really, really plush. You know, don't scrimp on the seat, okay? It should be, try a couple of different kinds and see what you like. I know some people feel comfortable with a piece of wood. Some people feel comfortable with three pillows, and see what you like, okay? Generally speaking, the back should be higher, and all the parts of your leg should be on some kind of cushion, okay? Today we'll go through a typical meditation. We'll do the whole thing from the top, okay? It'll take about 40 minutes, okay? And so try to get into a position where you won't have to move much. You don't have to cross your legs, just whatever's comfortable for you, okay? We'll take a break for squirming in about 10 to 15 minutes, okay? So try to hold out, all right? There's actually a squirming break built into the preliminaries, okay? All right, so get your hands right. Make sure your back is straight. Make sure your shoulders are relaxed. Your mouth is relaxed. Put your head as if you were looking straight forward, like not too high, and don't get your chin down on your chest, you know, because then you'll get sleepy. It should be like at attention, okay? And then if it feels more comfortable, close your eyes. If you'd rather not close your eyes, then you can just glance downwards, okay, with it half open. And you might find that very nice, okay? And then now just watch your breath. Watching your breath means try to keep your mind at the opening of your nose, the two nostrils, at the opening. And imagine that the mind is staying there and watching the air go by as you feel the cold air hit your nose and the warm air come out. So your mind is focused on your two nostrils, okay? And on the feel of the air going past that place, okay? We'll do that for a few minutes and try to make it very quiet. Try not to shift after this. Like, do your last squirm and then try to stay still, at least for the sake of the people around you, okay? Then without moving, take your mind to what we call refuge, thinking about refuge, and that's thinking about your life, thinking about how it goes up and down, thinking about how you're getting older, thinking about the prospects of a normal life, which are bad. You know, you just get older until you can't work anymore and then slowly die. And think about making a goal of understanding how to stop that process, how to move to a different kind of existence, which you can do in this lifetime. And think about the reason of meditation for that. That's the ultimate reason you're going to meditate. If you can meditate well, you can see emptiness directly. If you see emptiness directly, then you can see your future. You know where you're going to go after you die, and you can make it something very, very good. It's good to do that for about 10 breaths, and then you can move on to the next part of the meditation. It's important to go through the meditation in a good order, like don't get hung up and don't stop for 10 minutes on one thing. About 10 breaths is good for the preliminaries or the warm-up. Next, take your meditation on to bodhicitta or compassion, and think about someone you know who's in trouble. Physically or mentally, and then think about how you'd like to help them. And then think about if you could see emptiness directly or reach some kind of real serious spiritual level, you could help them. Next step is to invite a holy being to come here. Try to imagine inviting to sit in front of you somebody you take as holy. It could be the Dalai Lama. If you grew up as Christian, maybe Jesus or your Lama, if you have a root Lama, but some being that you believe is holy, and picture them in front of you. Picture that they come and sit in front of you. You go through a slow process of visualizing their silhouette, and then their eyes, and then fill in their eyes with color, and then their face, and then their hair, and then their whole body, and then the warmth from their body, and then the little motions like their eyebrows, their eyelids twitching, or the breath in their chest going up and down, and then the scent from their body, and make them real. And try to imagine how they think and how their mind feels so sweet to them. Now you do a specific meditation about their good qualities. Like, what is it that you admire about them that you would like to be? And at this point especially, it's important to think about how they maybe have been following you around for a long time, trying to get you to do all these things. Then lastly, you make them some offering or some gift in your mind. Basic offering is to imagine the whole sky covered with flowers and offer them that. The offering that makes them happiest is to offer them something good you did during the day to someone, or some good plan you have shortly to do something very good for someone. So try to think of something specific that you did that was good, or something specific that's good that you can do for them in the next few hours. Next part of the meditation is to imagine some kind of negative thing you did today, like you thought something bad about somebody, or you felt jealous of someone, or you got angry at someone. And bring it up in your mind very, very specifically, like you're playing a videotape. Play it back a few times and watch how stupid it seems now. And then try to feel some kind of idea. Think a little bit about how you could stop doing that the next day, tomorrow or the next day. So some very specific little negative thing you did to someone today, and very, very clear, very specific what you said, why you said it, and then some thoughts about how you can avoid it tomorrow. Again, keep one part of your mind on your breath and counting out tens. And then after 10 or something, go on to the next part of the meditation. The next part of the meditation is to think of something good you did today, something that you thought kindly of someone, or you took care of someone, or you put someone else's interest before your own today. You did what they wanted before you did what you wanted. And be happy about it, and think about how you can maybe do something else like that tomorrow, but make sure it's very clear, something very specific that you did. Remember where you were, what you said, what you thought, who it was, what they looked like. The next part of the meditation, you think about getting teachings. You're praying that you can get good teachings. They could be formal teachings like classroom teachings, or they could be teachings that your children give you, or your spouse, or your friends, or your fellow workers. They could be positive teachings, sweet teachings, or they could be negative lessons that someone teaches you by disappointing you or hurting you. And then you learn more about your own mind, and you learn more about being patient. And so at this stage in the meditation, we ask to meet teachings like both of those kinds of teachings in our lives. Then there's a joke in the monastery. They say, then you can't complain if tomorrow someone hurts you or disappoints you, okay? Because you asked for it. Then the last part before the squirming part is to pray that the good teachers in this world stay alive and stay well. Like you could pray for the health of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, or pray that Ken Rinpoche, our root Lama, that they stay in the world, and all the good teachers that you know, and even your friends who teach you good things, the good people you're around, that the good influences on you, the people who affect you in a positive way, that they live a long life and they stay with you and they stay close to you. Okay, then relax and move around a little bit. And then we'll start. That's the warm-up, okay? And then we'll start the real meditation after that. This is the last, I think, class in this session. So it's important to try to go home and practice it every day. It's important to do it at the same time every day. It's important to do about half an hour to 45 minutes a day. At least, okay, in the morning if that's your better time. And then do the things during the day that make meditation go well, okay? We talked about it. We had a class about it. Like watch that you don't eat too much. Watch that you don't try to do too many things. Watch that you get enough sleep. Watch that you generally take care of your health. If you have to exercise, then do some exercise, you know? And then watch your mind during the day. Don't expose it to too much meaningless stimulation. You know, like the last 50 pages of the New York Times or Newsweek on top of Time magazine or three newscasts instead of just one. Or, you know what I mean? Like that. You know, things that they stir your mind up. Like if you stir your mind up in the evening, then the next morning, you'll find it hard to meditate, and you won't know why. You know, so it's important when they call tun tam. Tun tam means between meditations, like that whole other 20 hours or 23 hours that you think nice thoughts about people. You don't expose your mind to too much useless stimulation. You don't abuse your body. Make sure your body's healthy and light. And makes it much easier to meditate. Two more things to watch out for. If a place is too warm, like this room, it's difficult to meditate well. You know, it's good to be a little bit cold, but not so cold that you get sick, okay? Most people meditate a little bit better if it's a little bit cool. Like you might want to crack a window open or take off your sweater or something like that. That'd be nice. And then noise is very bad. So like here we have a choice. You can either be hot or have the noise. We'll give you noise now, okay? So it's better to do it in at a time when there's not much noise in your house. You know, most people find early morning is good for that, okay? You can't meditate with food in your stomach. It's like they told you when you were a kid. We had Jiminy Cricket movies that you. It's not good to eat before you go swimming or something like that. And you should wait, like, you shouldn't eat within about 2 hours of meditation, okay? It won't go well. You can drink something light, you know? Like, I'd say a protein shake's a little dangerous, but, you know, some light juice or orange juice or apple juice or some water or something like that. But if you eat before you meditate, you'll find that you get sleepy, okay? The most important instruction for meditation is not to have any thoughts of anger or or to think about somebody you don't like. If you want to ruin your meditation, the best way during meditation is to think of someone you don't like, or to worry about some problem that you can't do anything about, okay? And then that destroys your meditation, okay? It's called nirsem. And this is a special way to destroy your meditation quickly. Like if you get too warm, or if you ate too much, or you didn't sleep enough, or you're thinking about that song you heard on the radio, these are all like slow death for your meditation. But if you want to ruin it quickly, then think about somebody you don't like or something like that. And then they say that's immediately breaks the concentration. It ruins the meditation session. Okay? So you have to watch that during the meditation also. Okay, we'll start again. Also, don't try to do too much at the beginning, okay? Slow and steady wins the race. It's much better to do 20 minutes a day and build up than to do an hour for 3 days and then quit. Okay, so it's very important to do a little bit each day. And then naturally you'll get better and better at it, and then you'll enjoy it more and more, and then you'll want to do more and more. Okay? We talked about the ultimate benefits of meditation, but there's a lot of worldly benefits, you know. Your concentration gets much, much better. You can accomplish anything you ever want to. Your intellect starts to improve. Your health starts to improve. Your body gets stronger. You're able to solve problems that you couldn't solve before. And in your whole life, like your relationships with other people, everything starts to improve because your mind is getting more and more clear. So it's very good to do a little bit each day and then build up. Same time each day, okay? We hired this guy to run a saw downstairs to sharpen your concentration. So, okay. Now we'll do an actual meditation. This is called a basic sundap. Sundap meditation is where you try to get some blessing or energy from a holy being, okay? And Jetsun Kapa, who taught the first Dalai Lama, teacher of the first Dalai Lama, was a specialist at this. And he did it about half his meditations. Even after he became a great master, even after he got very close to being enlightened, he would still do this meditation. Okay, so it's a very good meditation. So put your hands back. And then take your position and then decide you're not going to move. Okay. And then watch your breath again. Okay. Then build up that vision again of the person in front of you, sitting in front of you like a holy being. and build it up from their outline first, their silhouette. Like see them with a light behind them and just get their outline right. Then see their eyes. Then the rest of their face. Then add their hair and their shoulders. With color. And then the rest of their body. Then add their warmth and their scent and movement in their body. And then imagine how they think and what it feels like to be in their mind. And then try to think of the one or two spiritual qualities or the good qualities that they have that you would like to have. Or things that you're not very strong about, that they are very perfect about, that you'd like to learn from them or have from them. And then imagine that they agree to help you. You ask them in your mind to help you and they agree. Then imagine that they put their hands on your chest, in the middle of your chest, and you could feel the warmth in their hands. And then imagine that the things that you would like to learn from them are coming into you through their hands and then spreading around your body like your blood. Okay. In Tibetan, they do it's like a golden light. Some beautiful, warm, golden light is spreading around your body. And then imagine that your body is made of light and that it's very, very beautiful like their body and very, very pure. And your mind is very, very pure. Imagine that you've become like them. Then imagine that the light goes out of your body. We say it goes out from the little pores in your skin. Little light, rays of light going out, touching the other people around you and helping them, giving them some kind of strength and some kind of compassion for them. Then at the end of the meditation, you imagine that you ask that person to come into you and stay inside of you and continue to bless you during the whole night while you sleep and then in the morning. And then they agree with joy, and then they start rising up off the ground. They're still facing you, and they get smaller and smaller and smaller. And then they rise above your head. And then they turn around to face the same way as you. And then they settle down on your head. And at this point, they're very small, like maybe 3 inches high. And they're resting on the top of your head, and try to feel them there. And then they get smaller and smaller and smaller, and they start to come down towards your heart from the top. They sink into your body, and they come down. They follow a path just in front of your backbone. It's about a half inch or a little more in front of your backbone, and they're coming straight down very slowly, and they're shrinking smaller and smaller. And then just before they get to the level of your heart, imagine like a small capsule in that, at the level of your heart, just in front of your backbone, about a half inch or a little bit more. And it's like a little chamber about the size of a pea. And from the outside, when you look at it, it seems like about the size of a pea. But when you put your mind inside, it's this big, beautiful chamber. Full of beautiful lights and soft cushions and silks and incense smells, and make it a beautiful place. And in the center, put a big soft flower like a rose, laid down open flat, and each petal is a really, really soft silk cushion. And then they come down and they sit in the middle of it. And imagine them there, and imagine them like blessing your mind, blessing your body the whole day. And then remember, when you need something during the day, or you're about to get angry, or you feel sad, or then you can go and meet them. And from the outside, it looks like a little pea. And then when you put your mind inside, it's this big, nice room, with very, very beautiful, a nice, quiet place to go. And they're always waiting there for you. And they really, really care for you, and they're always watching out for you. We don't believe in a God who made the world. We believe it comes from your mind. But we do believe that there are beings like that who have been watching you your whole life. They've been around you. Sometimes they pretended to be the people you knew. And they've been trying to help you and guide you. And then imagine that they are, that one is staying in your heart and very happy to be there. We say Buddhas can move at the speed of mind, and they can be anywhere they want to be, and they don't take much space up. They say you can fit 1 million Buddhas on the head of a pin. So it's no problem for them to be in your heart, really. They really do come, as soon as you think about it. The last step is to, this is coming out of meditation, then you dedicate that good karma. You made a lot of good karma, and you try to imagine that all the people that you meet during the whole day, there'll be something slightly different about you, like 1% different about you. You know, you didn't just eat all morning or read the newspaper, you know. They can sense something different about you. As you walk through the day, even people who meet you on the street, they sense something slightly different about you because you did something completely different in the morning. So imagine them. The last step of meditation is to think about it, that as you meet people during the day, that, you know, when you feel upset or angry, you tend to pass it on to other people and during the day, and then it passes on to another person. It passes from person to person. But if you did some kind of meditation in the morning, there's a certain calmness about you that spreads from person to person around you. So dedicate it to that. Okay, then you can relax. We'll do an actual dedication prayer, okay? And imagine that, okay?
Pagye Joshe Medoda Rera Vrinshi Nende Gambadi Sangye Shindu Minte Doko nam dakshing na chepa so idam guru rana mandala kameya dayami adi kyaoku sanam yeshe toto shi sanam yeshe ne chue tamba kuni topa.
Okay, and then this class will start again in late February, I think. In the meantime, every Wednesday night there's a meditation here. You're welcome to come, 7 o'clock. A very good monk is leading it. And, last Thursday we had the last class of a 7-year course here. I mean, that was the end of the 7-year course for the first group of people. I think there were like 5 survivors or something. Which is a lot, you know. And then it, you know, they've been prepared intellectually. They understand everything about Buddhism. They can answer almost any question, you know. But that's not enough to change you. It doesn't really, that in itself doesn't change you much. You know, you have to be meditating every day. I mean, it's good to know Buddhism and you should learn it, but just going to class and doing all your homework successfully doesn't really change you by itself. You have to be meditating, and then you have to, the most important thing for meditation, Jetsun Kapa said it, is to keep your conscience clean, which means to, all throughout the day, you're always watching out to see if you're hurting anybody, or if something you're saying is hurting someone, or something you're doing is hurting someone, or just little things, you know? Or something you're thinking might lead you to hurt someone, you see what I mean? So they say the real difference between a great meditator and a so-so meditator is your lifestyle and how clean you keep your heart and your life. Because then your meditation will change or not change, okay? A good way to do that is to track yourself every few hours, write down how you're doing. And we had that class last week about keeping a book. I can't emphasize too much about the book, okay? To stop every 2 hours, your whole life, and to keep checking yourself to see if there's anything negative that you're doing or saying or hurting other people. This immediately starts to change your spirit. You know, your spiritual life really starts to take off. And all these things you ever dreamed of start to happen, you know, like unbelievable things start to happen. You know, I have many students. Some of them think it's a dumb idea and they're not doing it at all. And frankly, they seem a little unhappy. And I'm not kidding. And then I have other students I know, they do it part-time, you know. Sometimes they do it and sometimes they don't do it. And they seem a little happier. And then I have other students who keep this record, you know, every day, very strictly. Every few hours they stop and they check themselves. And this is in many religions. I worked with Hasidic Jews in the diamond business, cutting diamonds, sitting next to them. Every 2 hours they get up and go stand in the corner and do their thing. And I have a friend, Mustafa, at King's Copy Shop, who does all our copies. I wanted to have an appointment with him the other day. He says, I can't. That's when I do my prayers, you know. And I mean, I think it's in any religion that you really want it to work, you have to stop every few hours and check yourself, okay? The students I have who check themselves all the time seem to be changing. They seem to be getting more and more happy all the time. They seem to be calmer. Their lives are going better and better. And then the ones who spend a lot of time on it, you know, that actually, you know, I was just describing someone who spent 30 seconds on it every 2 hours. But if you spend like a couple of minutes on it and think carefully and be very honest with yourself, you know, what did you really do that hurts other people? People tend to write the small things and overlook the big things, you know. If you keep writing those things, you will change noticeably and your life will just change a lot. And you'll be more and more happy. And then, according to Buddhism, your whole reality starts to shift. Your whole reality, like doing that practice can change the subways. It can change the amount of pollution in New York City. It can change the crime rate. It can change your body, whether you feel healthy or not. It can change your intelligence. It can change your financial situation. You know what I mean? All of these things, seriously, according to Buddhism, that's the whole point. If you did it really, really well for an extended period of time, then everything would change altogether, and your body, your mind, your environment. And we say you could actually reach heaven that way or reach some kind of Buddha paradise. And that's exactly how you do it. So it's very, very important to keep that process and to keep meditating. And then it eventually actually changes everything. If you try it seriously for a few months, you'll see. And things will start to change. So come Wednesday nights if you can. Keep a book with somebody else, like once a week, talk to them about your book. Then they'll say, well, tell me about Thursday. What's in your book for Thursday, you know? And you say, well, it's blank, you know? And then they'll encourage you. It's good to have a buddy to do your book with. And then, you know, keep studying. If you'd like, do some of the study courses. You can get them at Fifth Street, at that store. There, you can come and use them for free or you can grab them off Anila if you don't have any money, and you know, go downstairs in the basement and they'll give you one if you're desperate. And you can always go there and watch some nice videos. We have videos of His Holiness and things like that, and it's free tea and all that stuff. So you can do that. And then we'll see you at end of February, I think. We'll start again. We'll have a long session. In 1999, we'll start reviewing on the Tuesday and Thursday night. We'll review the whole 7-year course in 1 year. On Friday nights, we'll do a very, very special series of teachings on the different masters of Buddhism. We're going to go through the great Buddhist masters who have lived since the Buddha's time. Okay? Any questions about your meditation? No. My Lama says if nobody raises their hands, everybody knows it perfectly. So, okay. Yeah. Scott asked about the breathing. Should it be shallow or deep? You have to. There's a lot to say about breathing meditation. First of all, it's just a bridge between your work and your meditation. It's not a goal in itself, okay? But it's important to do it right. And there's a lot to talk about it. It should be deep. You should try, if you get to a quiet place, like if you go on retreat for a couple of weeks, you can hear the hairs whistling or not, you know, in your nose. And then you'll know how the breath is going. In general, when you get good at it, you're tracking it on your heartbeat, okay? So if you meditate for a month or something, you'll start noticing that you can hear your heartbeat really loud. And then the idea is that you take in the air slowly, and you watch how many heartbeats. So it'll be like 4, 5, 6 heartbeats. And the idea is to get the air to come. You naturally only breathe. If you have a singing coach or a dance coach or something, they'll tell you naturally you only breathe about halfway down. You only take in about half the air you could. And the idea in meditation is to take in that much and then take in more. And get your whole lung full. And then make sure it all comes out. Okay? It can harm you in your meditation if you don't expel all that air, okay? So the one way to do it is by your heartbeat, the same amount of heartbeats in. And then when you reach where you usually breathe, then breathe in a little more. And then out. And when you reach where you usually stop breathing, breathe out more. Very, very important, okay? All the air must come out on each breath. You've heard about lung problems or wind problems in meditation. They're caused by, one of the causes is that you're breathing in too much breath, and you're not releasing it all. So it's important when you get to the end of the breath and you think it's all out, then push some more breath out, you know, and make sure it's all out. The other thing to do is to watch that normally you breathe in too fast and you breathe out too slow. Normally they're not matched, you know. People tend to breathe in faster than they expel the air. And if you want to get into a deep meditation pretty fast, try to slow down the in-breath, okay? And never do anything with your breath which is uncomfortable. That also causes problems, you know. But in a natural way, a very comfortable way, then try to increase the amount of air you take in. But always make sure to get it all out. That's very important, okay? A lot of teachers in the Tibetan tradition teach a very beautiful meditation where you imagine the air like a crystal jello. And when you breathe in, it's like one long piece of jello, and it's coming down like that. It's like a big sausage or something. And it's coming down to your air, and then it comes down to here, you know? And then when you breathe out, it's the same piece going out. And then they say, try to make 6 inches. And then they say, these are called sor. Try to make 3 sor. This much here is called 4 sor. So they say, try to make 12 sor. Try to breathe out that far. And then try to visualize it going out further. And then visualize it going out like 2 feet and then 3 feet. And then that means your capacity is increasing. Your breathing capacity is increasing. So you imagine that you're sitting up very straight and the breath is going out straight away from your face. And then it stops. And the same piece comes back in. You know, so it's like sliding in and out of your body like that. Okay? And you just imagine it that way. And that's a really good way to do the breath. And then there's a lot more to say about the breath. The main thing is don't force anything. Like, don't try to hold your breath or don't try to, you know, choke or anything like that. It should be comfortable, okay? That's the main thing. Any more questions? Yeah.
Sorry, about the book.
Yeah.
I noticed that, like, in a period of 2.5 hours, you made the note, don't have any interaction with anyone.
Yeah.
Your readings like that.
Yeah. Yeah, way back is fine. Yeah, a couple days is fine. Yeah, a couple days is fine. I mean, some of them, you know, you get to one where it's like, there's one bodhisattva about you can't kill your father, you know? I mean, my father passed away 20-something years ago. And You know, so what you have to do is free associate. You know, you think, is there a person who's been particularly kind to me that I have hurt them today or yesterday or something like that, you know? And that it can be free. You have to free associate. When you get into the Bodhisattva vows, you know, there's a Bodhisattva vow that was designed for Indian kings, which is you're not allowed to destroy cities, you know? And whenever I get to that vow, you know, I think about sorting the bottles and the trash, you know, that I don't mess up New York City or, you know, or something like that, you know? So it's like, yeah, you have to bring it, you have to reduce it to your real life. And you have to reduce it to something which you are really doing. And that's what gets you enlightened. It's not this theoretical helping all beings like that. You know, if you can't help the 5 or 6 people who live close to you, if you can't respect them and be kind to them and do the right thing with them, you'll never do it with other sentient beings. You know what I mean? So the idea is to keep working on yourself until you can relate to your immediate world in an enlightened way. And then you can easily do it with other beings. Because the hardest ones are the ones in your family, the ones you work with, your close friends, fellow students, your teacher. You know, these are the hardest people to deal with. And then if you get good with them, then you can do anything after that. So the idea is to, the most difficult thing about life and the most important thing spiritually is to clean up your act with your immediate environment, with the small things, you know, and that it's the most difficult spiritual practice. There's some line in Shantideva, Sirpakadu Kungi Chok, something like that, you know, the most difficult spiritual practice of all is to be patient with your friends or something like that, you know, and he wasn't kidding, you know. You know, rather than staying in a cave or something like that, it's much more difficult. You know, I stayed in caves. It's much more difficult to be nice to the people around you, you know. And whether or not you get enlightened will depend on whether you can be holy in your immediate environment. And you can't do that unless you stop every hour or two and check yourself. You'll never do it. And if you do, then the whole thing about Buddha paradise and your body turning into a tantric deity, that's all comes from that. It works. It's really... And then later you can learn how it actually works. You know, the mind affects the physical channels and the winds inside your body. And then actually, there's actually diagrams and flow charts and process descriptions of how being nice to the people around you actually changes your body into a tantric deity's body. It's very beautiful. And you have to learn that sometime, okay? Just going and hearing some big lama, they pour some water on your head and you go home and you don't do anything different. It doesn't change anything, you know? It really doesn't change anything. But the other one really works. And then you get that water on your head and it works, okay? All right, see you in February, okay.